Praise God, praise God, praise God. Yes, I am who God says I am. That's been our song for the last few days. Hillsong Worship there, singing Who You Are. Beautiful, beautiful music. I could encourage you, get it, download it, listen to it if you can. Let it bless you. Praise God, praise God. Yes, I am who God says I am. You are who God says you are. I mean, that's super absolute, super truth. And that's, you know, what we're dealing with again today, this day, the 10th episode, all right, of Faith in the Finished Work. We just, this week alone, we've been super stuck, all right, super stuck about the person or the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. It's important. Let me just say right ahead on time, off time rather, it's Friday, of course, last episode for the week. On Sunday, we are dealing with the influence of the Spirit weekly. That is, we're talking about the work of the Spirit in the believer. Okay, please, in case you missed last week, just don't miss this Sunday. We'll be on Spreaker here, on YouTube, on Instagram, and also on Facebook. You could always catch up. I trust you have subscribed, all right, to my YouTube channel. In case you haven't, please do. Larry Rex on Osanya on YouTube. Please subscribe and watch last week's episode. It was awesome, like super awesome. And this week gonna get greater, clearer. So let's just, because hey, listen, I am who God says I am, right? Yeah. Philemon 6 again says that the communication, that's King James, that the communication of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Once again, Philemon 6, all right? We could say 1:6, but Philemon is basically one, all right, chapter, but sometimes just to help people, all right? Because it's Philemon 6, and they wonder, oh, are you saying chapter 6, all right, or what? In case you're not familiar with it, they say 1:6, and then they get there, oh, it's just one chapter. Yes, so Philemon 1:6, all right, that the communication of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging, all right, of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 6, Paul was writing and he said that in my flesh, there is no good thing. All right. He was trying to describe, right, the state of man. So it wasn't even necessarily talking about the new creature, because you have to read Romans 7 rather. So you have to read Romans 7 well, then you get into Romans 8, and then begins to talk a lot more about the life of a new creation, how that there's no condemnation, how that you're in the spirit and not in the flesh, and all of that. So, you know, you read Romans 7. So in Romans 7 there, he said, in my flesh, there is no good thing. Of course, John also explains that in the flesh, right, the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, the pride of life, all right, he that would live in the flesh, all right, would not just be able to flow better with the things of the spirit. But please understand, Philemon says that the communication of your faith, all right, is made effective by the acknowledging. Please notice what we're acknowledging. Acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. In you in Christ. In you in Christ, there is no evil thing. Right? And the greatest gift of God to us is the Holy Ghost. Please understand that. I know, I mean, love is a great gift God gave, but that love, Romans 5 and 5, says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I mean, I know eternal life, but it's communicated to us by the Spirit. Righteousness, it's the nature of God, which is the nature of the Holy Ghost. When we are born again by the Holy Ghost, we're born righteous. So Jesus in John 16 said, it is expedient for you, right? John 16 verse 7, Jesus said, it is expedient, advantageous, okay, for you that I go away. If I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. Guys, that we may come into a greater revelation. You and I and the entirety of the body of Christ will come into a greater revelation of the presence, the person, all right, and the ministry of the Holy Ghost. I'll take that again. That we may come, you and I and the entirety of the body of Christ may come, all right, into an appreciation, into a revelation of the presence, okay, the person, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because when we catch a greater glimpse of the reality of His presence, we'll be bold. Oh, thank you, Lord. We'll be bold. We will be super bold. I mean, there's this great, great preacher, their preacher, all right, John G. Lake. You might have heard about him, right? He was an American, a missionary to South Africa, was there 5 glorious years, and then came back to the U.S., well, Canadian, actually. Then he moved to the U.S., then was led to be a missionary in South Africa, got back to the U.S., you know. Great, great healing evangelist. He talked about the fact that he was called up by a family, you know, the head of the home, if I have the story very correctly till now. I mean, I've read it a couple of times, you know, but there are a few stories. Anyway, so he gets to the house. I'm trying to remember if it was head of family, but I think it was. Right, gets to the house. The man was insane, was locked up in a room. And then, you know, he was told how the man, you know, was behaving. And then Gilek said, give me the key to the room. The wife said, no, our 4 sons are bigger than you are. And all 4 of them couldn't hold him down. He said, give me the key. Guys, John Lake walked into the room and locked the key, locked the door. That part, I mean, I still remember that part very well, you know. Because you're reading and like, he did that? I remember first time I read it, I'm like, he did that? He locked the door behind him. It was him and the man alone in the room. And then he put the key in the pocket. I mean, that's him saying, I come out with you, I come out with you. I mean, there's no other way about it. He said the man crouched on the ground, you know, like a lion about to pounce on its prey. And then he began to, you know, just say within himself, greater is he that is in me. Listen, guys, that verse, that 1 John 4:4 has done many mighty miracles. Very many mighty miracles. And when we lose the grip of it, life has a sour taste sometimes. Right? And I believe that's why the Holy Ghost will have us teach this more. Meditate on this more. Fight the fight with this more. Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I will come to you. And then he gave us the greatest gift of all, the Holy Spirit, the same person that helped him to fulfill his ministry. Are you going through a challenge? You are not alone, child of God. You are not. In Hebrews, all right, 13:5, he said, I would never leave you, never forsake you. You are not alone, child of God. The Holy Spirit is with you. He is for you, and above all, he is in you. But the issue is we're not as conscious, all right? We're not consistently conscious of this revelation as we ought to be. So John Lake, you know, he said, of course, he took careful steps, but I mean, he took for me the boldest step of all, locking himself up in the room with a man that could tear him apart. He said it would take a few steps that he took him about 20 to 30 minutes, all right, before he got super close to the man. But he kept on. Then he kept on. He would take steps and keep meditating and keep speaking God's word. And then he would take a baby step. And then he would speak God's word. And then he would take a baby step till he got super close to the man. And then grabbed him till he locked eye to eye. And he said something I heard Kenny Hagin say, and which one or two times I know I've encountered, when you're able to look into someone's eyes and like you could see the demon, you know, those demon eyes stare back at you. He said he stared there with that confidence of God in him and like you could see that evil spirit trying to hide its face, you know. He said, come out of him. He got the whole demon out. Come out of him in the name of Jesus. And he walked out of that room with the man. He did walk out of the room with the man. You know, I remember when I've had to use greater is he that is in me. That same 1 John 4:4 to deal with a demon case. Prayed for someone was quite a number of years ago. And then person acting funny like, hey, you cannot cast me out. You can. Yes, you're like, have you seen that before? I have a couple of, you know, I was pastoring a campus church and a couple of my leaders was after a midweek meeting. You know, I just, you know, was attending to, you know, saying hi to like 2-3 first timers. And there was a particular one and, you know, so, oh, my friend, okay, hi. And then I just sensed pray with her. As I touched her, she coiled, you know, like some funny reaction. I'm like, oh, okay, something's funny here. So I told the guys, let's step out because we use the classroom. Let's go outside. And then, you know, I just said in the name of Jesus, just you cannot cast me out. You think you can cast me out? You know, and thank God. All I stood there, ran and come out. No, I won't come out. Come out, you know. I mean, yes, I've had to spend like over 2 hours or so on a case too before. I mean, it, you know, so, but this case, thank God, I just stood there. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater. And I kept saying it. Kept saying it, and the lady was spinning left, spinning right. Just kept saying it till she fell down by herself on the floor. After a while, she was calm. We got her up. And then she was like, it's gone. Thank you. Thank you. I've been trying to, you know, let that thing go from me. Da, 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 da. Oh, but greater is he that is in you. Listen, if everybody around you won't believe, you believe it. Greater is he that is. We've got to acknowledge this. 1 Corinthians again, chapter 3, again, verse 16, again. Do you not know, all right? Amplified, do you not discern and understand, all right, that you, the whole church at Corinth, all right, are the temple of God, all right, that the Spirit of God lives permanently within you, makes his home within you, individually, and all of you. So in you, that means to acknowledge, what do you say? I am the temple of God. Acknowledge, I am the temple of God. The Spirit of God has his permanent dwelling in me. Like, can we do that 5 times? I am the temple of God. The Spirit of God has his permanent dwelling in me. I am the temple of God. The Spirit of God has his permanent dwelling in me. I am the temple of God. The Spirit of God has his permanent dwelling in me. I am the temple of God. The Spirit of God has his permanent dwelling in me. I am the temple of God. The Spirit of God has his permanent dwelling. Indulge me like 5 more times. I am the temple of God. The Spirit of God has his permanent dwelling in me. I am the temple of God. The Spirit of God has his permanent dwelling in me. I am, hallelujah, I am the temple of God. The Spirit of God has his permanent dwelling in me. I am the temple of God. The Spirit of God has his permanent dwelling in me. I am, hallelujah, I am the temple of God. The Spirit of God has his permanent dwelling in me. This is acknowledgement. Could you write it somewhere? Could you, you know, Paul says, don't you know? It means we need to know. I didn't say head knowledge. Paul wasn't referring to head knowledge. Paul was asking, don't you have a grasp of this? Don't you understand this? Guys, it means when the doctor says, you know, it's fibroid, when the doctor says it's cancer, when the doctor says it's acute pneumonia, when the doctor says something wrong with your bones, when the doctor, all right, says there's a nervous breakdown coming up, when the doctor says whatever the doctor says, I am the temple of God and the Spirit of God has his permanent dwelling in me. I am the temple of God and the Spirit of God has his permanent dwelling in me. I am the temple of God and the Spirit of God has his permanent dwelling in me. Then you can switch. Greater is he, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, the resurrector of Jesus from the dead. Greater is he, that Spirit in me, than this fibro, than this cancer, than this nervous breakdown. Then, you know, there are things happening to you that nobody knows. Nobody sees, you know, it happens this morning, maybe one, you know, spasm issue here and there, one, you know, one memory loss here and there. But the issue, the fact sometimes is we now get too active, too involved in the day's activities. We forget it, you know, and that happens a lot because it's not a persistent, consistent pain. Note it. Set an alarm on your phone. You know, something that tells you every 3 hours, every 2 hours, every 10 p.m. for 30 minutes. Set an alarm if you have to and fight this fight. Fight this that very many times. Sicknesses and diseases, you know, and failure, some system failure in the human body has brought down many a believer, very many of us. And it's not because the resurrection power wasn't in us, but because we never just activated it. You know, life just always seems to suck us away from wanting to stay with the word and listen in that word, with that word. You know, remember the parable of the sower in John 4. Jesus said the sower sows the word, but there were those who fell right amongst the wayside or along the wayside, right? Those on the stony ground, those among thorns, you know, and then those on good ground. But let me talk about the one among thorns. They grew. They grew because they fell on good ground, all right? They just fell on ground that had thorns. So the thorns choked it. And Jesus said those thorns there, they represent the cares of this world, the lust for other things. They just, you know, those things, those concerns, they take us away from the word, or they you know, take so much of our attention that we don't have ample time. You know, you could say a prayer here and then the devil doesn't mind, but he knows that if he stops you from meditating, he's stopping you from putting that seed in your heart the way you should and planting it to get the result. You know, you just get into activity in all our daily pursuit. But guys, pursue, yes, go and have a great day today. Have a great weekend this weekend. Have a great rest of this month and rest of this year. But please, can you make out time? 30 minutes. 15 minutes, if it's a serious health situation, maybe like 2 hours, maybe three, but I don't have that time. You will. You have to right now, because you might have to forcefully. Many a believer have been locked down in the hospitals. Many a believer have crashed. Their body's shutting down. But the greater one lives in them. But the issue is we keep saying, I don't have time. I can't stop. See what happened to the whole world. Many things we couldn't stop, stopped forcefully because of a virus. And I know you know people who've had to be admitted, had to be put on bed rest. You could create the time now. Create the moment. 1 hour, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Greater is a Spirit of life in me. Greater. You know where it hurts. Greater. Maybe you keep making one wrong decision after the other. Greater is the Spirit of God in me. Greater is the wisdom of God in me. You have to acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ. Because in Christ, only good things. And you don't forget James chapter 1 and the 17th verse. All good gifts, all perfect gifts, they come from God, from the Father of light, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning, all good gifts. You are a new creature. You're created good. The first creation was good. The next creation was super good. You are created in Christ Jesus. In you is no good thing. Your thoughts might still be queer. You know, something might still be off, but that's because we have a mind we need to renew. Something might be physically not okay with your body. That's because you have a body not yet redeemed. But in your spirit, in Christ, there's nothing. Nothing. All right? Live more from the reality of who you are in Christ. Let it influence your thinking pattern. Let it influence your value for yourself. Let it influence your self-esteem, who you are in Christ. Sometimes you feel, oh, but I'm just all alone. Jesus said, no, I will not leave you comfortless. So never say I'm alone. Jesus told the disciples, said, when these guys come, you're all going to run away from me. You will leave me alone. He now said, but I'm never alone. My Father is with me. He put the but in the right place. You will leave me alone. You run away from me, abandon me, but I'm never alone. I'm never. Put your but where it is. You should put it in the right place. Don't say, oh, I know God is with me, but I'm alone. No, I'm physically alone, but God is always, you know, you have to put it in the right place. And I'm saying this because this is the fight. You've got to acknowledge. Have you ever heard the phrase, practice God's presence? Practice God's presence, or practicing the presence of God, or practice the presence of the Holy Ghost. All right, what that basically means is train yourself to always acknowledge Him. Train yourself to relate with Him like He's always with you, like He's real. He is real. But train yourself. Talk to Him. Talk to Him today. You know, Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 that we should trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Lean not unto our own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Begin that exercise today. Lord, should I? Should I? Should I? Do I have to? Yeah. And just check the impulses you get in your spirit, the nudges, the guidances. Follow through. If you get a check like don't, then stop. This is how you're going to train yourself to know how God leads you. Because you lead by the inward witness and also, yes, by the inward voice. He will lead you. But you won't understand the practicality of being led if you do not take steps in whatever direction you think He's leading you in. If you realize it was wrong, it's all right. You're learning to be led. Oh, but the greater one is in you. The greater one is inside you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. In you. In you. In you. Inside you. Never leaving you alone. Never, ever leaving you alone. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you getting this tonight? This morning, it will help you and bless you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater, greater. Greater is He that is in me. Greater. Greater is He. Greater. Greater. Greater is He. Greater. Greater is He. Hallelujah. That is in me. Than he that is in the world. Greater. Let me read Ezekiel 36 again. We read it yesterday. Super cool. I believe it's super good. All right. Ezekiel 36 and 26. All right. We read from 25 years. I read from 26. It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Now take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments or commandments, and you will do them. All right. I will put my spirit within you. So the spirit you have in you now is the spirit of God. Come on. Oh, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of resurrection, the spirit of revelation, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit in you. We need to get this. The spirit in you is not an ordinary spirit. Your spirit in you is the very spirit of God. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, all right, 1 Corinthians 2 and 12 says, we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit that is of God, that we may know, all right, the things freely, oh, given to us. That means I can acknowledge every day, I have received the spirit of God. I have in me it's a battle. It's you fighting to get the word, all right, from mental agreement in you to revelation. You could pray this as prayer. Please understand that. All right. You could pray this as prayer. And that's what we see in Ephesians. All right. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul is praying from the 17th verse of Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, and then Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Right? To be enlightened means to have full light. All right? Enlightened, to be flooded with light. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. 19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us that believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. That means the power available to the new creature is the exact power that raised us from the dead. Guys, we must not and should not, we ought not to be brought down by sickness and disease, because the resurrection power is in us. So what then is the issue? We have so much resurrection power in us, but we are not unlocking it by revelation. So Paul prays for them that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. So this might be your prayer this weekend and from this weekend. Lord, that you grant me a revelation. Revelation of the power that is in me. The revelation. Revelation. You've seen yourself make one dumb decision after the other. Don't start calling yourself dumb. Yeah, but I'm making a decision. Can I not just be factual? Whose facts? Yours or God's? Call yourself what God calls you. You're not to be busy acknowledging your weaknesses. Listen, we're not saying deny your weaknesses. We said acknowledge the good things in you in Christ. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge this is who I am according to God's word. Not I deny this. No, use that one to change what the story is. Did you get that? Use that. Use the reality of who you are in Christ. Keep acknowledging it till it becomes so real that it replaces the thing you experience. It's like healing. I am not well. I don't go about saying I am not well. I don't go about saying I feel sick. Someone says, oh, how are you doing? I could say, you know, a bit of ache here and there. All right, but I believe the Lord is my life. All right, so I did answer the question without lying. I just said to the person, well, I'm good. Maybe because I didn't need to give details in that case, but someone close to you, someone maybe working with you, hey, this is how I feel, but I'm good. But then you don't go up to, they say, well, I'm just facing reality. I'm not okay. I'm not okay. I'm not okay. No, your reality is, thank you, Father, because you took my infirmities. So I know what I feel in my body, but I thank you because by the wounds of Jesus, I have been healed. I was healed before this pain came. I'm healed even now that I feel this pain. Even when the pain is gone, I will keep saying I'm healed. Do you understand that? So you're not acknowledging the sickness as much as you know it's there. Like I said yesterday, there are facts. You face the fact. All right. But the fact, this physical fact is inferior to the spiritual fact of God's word. So don't label yourself, please. Don't call yourself a name God did not call you. Do not call yourself a name God is not calling you. Come to the word and find what exactly God has said about you. God called you his beloved. He's called you righteous. He said you are his son. He said, God's called you heir, all right? Heir of God. Joint. So there are things you have to be busy acknowledging them. In the face of contrary evidences, we acknowledge the word of God. So Paul says that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. Paul is not praying, oh God, give us power. That's not the prayer. The prayer is that our eyes will open to see the enormity, okay, of the power of God that is available to us. That's the prayer, that our eyes will open to see the power that is available. That's the prayer. That's the prayer, that our eyes will open to see the power available. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. So we could go by way of prayer, but our advice should go by both the way of prayer and the way of meditation. What do I mean? Pray the prayer in Ephesians 1, but don't stop at it. Bible also teaches you to meditate. Meditate. It's the principle of taking God's word, speak it, think it, speak it. By doing that, you're actually planting and watering the seed. Greater is he that is in me. You say week one, week two, week three, it doesn't look like nothing's happening. It's always in the physical that it looks that way. In the realm of the spirit, great things are happening. In the realm of the spirit, big things, like super, seriously, guys, super big things are happening. Great things. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, that the communication of your faith may be effective by the acknowledging of every good thing in you in Christ. When you spend time acknowledging who you are in Christ, it becomes your reality. It is your spiritual reality. Then it becomes your experiential reality. Do you understand that? All right. Kenneth Hagin always says that faith's confession creates realities. Did you get that? Faith's confessions create reality. Faith's confession. The more you say, the more it becomes real. Not like it is not real. It is real in the invisible realm, in the spirit realm. You're seated together with him in heavenly places. Do you see the seat? Do you see the chair? Okay, doesn't have to be physical, but you get what I'm saying. But you maintain, this is who I am. I'm seated with him. I have authority. And the more it dawns on you, your mind accepts it as real. I mean, I love the way a great preacher put it. He said, say it is so, even when it seems not to be so, because in reality, it is so. Did you get that? Say it is so, even when it seems not to be so, because in reality, it is so. So speaking the word of God is not you lying. Speaking the word of God is you speaking a spiritual reality into a physical realm till it becomes a physical reality. All right. Elisha knew that they were surrounded by angels. Then he said to his servant, more are they that are with us than they that are with them. And then servant didn't understand and said, Lord, open his eyes. Okay. And God opened the eyes of the servant and he saw that, you know, they were surrounded with chariots and horses of fire. So he saw. But we don't have to see to believe. Remember, Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, now you believe I'm resurrected because you've seen me. But blessed are those who believe without seeing. Do you understand? So we have to believe that God's word is what it says. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. All right? That's your spiritual reality. It means when you sleep, when you wake up, the Holy Ghost is in you. All right? So we dare that devil to come back and try to harass you in your sleep with you understanding this revelation. You realize that the devil runs away. Why? He now knows you're awakening to the reality of who you are. You're awakening to the reality of who you are. I remember when Dr. Frederick Casey Price said he had a case of cancer, all right? And then he had to be treated for cancer, you know, operated upon and all of that. And he said, then years later, he came out, and then he was already a preacher, but I think maybe Baptist or, no, it wasn't Baptist, maybe Lutheran or something was a preacher. You know, not Baptist, it was Hagin. A couple of people, John Osteen, a couple of people were Baptist, but I don't think he was Baptist. You know. And then he said, much later, he came across Kenneth Hagin's materials, and then the same cancer showed up. He said, now I have the word of God. Now I knew what to do. Guys, do you understand that? It's not about the issues coming against us. It's now we're more equipped. We're better equipped. We have a fuller revelation. So don't run around your day, just running around your day. I know you want to make ends meet, but ends don't always meet. If you understand what I'm trying to say, what I mean is don't get yourself too much in a rat race. And then the devil stops you from feeding on the word. You have 24 hours in a day. Set time in your day. 30 minutes, 1 hour to meditate. Even if you have to do it while listening to a teaching, while driving, while meditate. I beg you, daily, that's what God told Joshua. That's what God taught David. That's what we see through scripture. All right? I'll be back again next week, but please listen to our teaching on meditation. Scroll down. You will find it. Take out time. Just binge on it. All right? You would have a lovely time. I got to go. Don't forget to join me on Sunday, 5 p.m. Nigerian time, Influence of the Spirit here. Facebook, Instagram, all right, YouTube, subscribe everywhere. Please share this teaching with everybody and practice the presence of God. I'll see you Sunday, and then we'll hook up here again on Monday. Have a super, super, super blessed weekend. Love you, and bye.